I want to talk to you about salvation, and I want to explain some things from the scriptures concerning salvation. You say, well, we're already saved. Well, that's good. I hope you are. Amen. That's wonderful. But I want you to be able to understand the doctrine of salvation. I want to take the different aspects of salvation that the Bible discusses, the different terms that the Bible uses for salvation, so you can better understand it. There's this argument today about, you know, repentance and other things. And I think it's because we take one phrase or one word, we take one word called saved, and that word is used all the time. Just that word is used concerning the doctrine of salvation for the most part. Nobody wants to talk about conversion. Nobody wants to talk about being a son of God, okay, being a child of God, being adopted, all right? Nobody wants to talk. We're going to take some of those phrases and some of those words that the scriptures talk about, and we're going to look at salvation in the light of those words, in the light of those doctrines that are in the Word of God, and just take the scriptures and rightly divide them. By the way, that's what that means, that rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Now, it's been told to you that that means that you take the Bible and you take a big sword and you start whacking out what you don't want. Well, that belongs to the Jews, that belongs to this person, that belongs to that person, that belongs to that person, that belongs to that person. So pretty much all I have to do is just do about this much, and that's it. I don't have to do anything else. God's just got this much of the Bible for me, and everything else is for everybody else. So I can go on, live any old way I want to, just try to define my spirituality in about two chapters of the Bible, or about four chapters, or what Paul said, that's the only thing that I live by. Well, that's not consistent with Scripture, and that's not what that means by rightly divide. Now, it can mean that, but that's not all it means. It means to be able to take the Word of God and understand it and divide it and properly interpret it according to the Scriptures. You know, there's going to be a lot of people surprised, I believe, when they get to heaven. All of us will be to some extent, but there's going to be some people that are surprised. There's going to be some people there there's not going to be some people there you think are going to be there with God. There's going to be some there. There's going to be some there. They're not going to be there. That you thought was going to be there. There's going to be some there that you never thought was going to be there. I'm sure of that too. You know, there's some Baptists that are going to be surprised that there were actually some saved Protestants. Now, some of my Baptist brighter friends may not understand that. That might cause them to go into some convulsions, but that's okay. I still love them. They just need to understand some of that. But anyway, Acts chapter 26. Let's pray. Father, we need you, Lord. I pray you bless us now. Help us understand this. What is conversion, Lord, from the Scriptures? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul was given his commission by the Lord, and this is the commission that he was given, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Well, what's happening there? There's a conversion that is taking place there when people obey that. They are going from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul is saying that's the pattern. Paul said to follow the pattern that I did. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to see a light on the road to Damascus. No, what he's saying is the same way I got saved, you're going to get saved. The same translation from darkness that I was in, you're going to be in light too when you get saved. You switch teams. But we want to preach a gospel today that claims to be in this team, but lives in this team. That's not consistent with Scripture. It's not consistent with Scripture for you to live in the devil's team and claim to be in God's team. It isn't consistent. It's not biblical. You know, every time I get into an argument about this or I discuss with this and try to talk to people about this, the first thing I ask them, can you show me one example in Scripture of somebody's life like that? That saved, one example of that. That prayed a prayer when they were five, lived 40 years in wickedness, no victory, no strength, no power from God, no call to repentance, none of those things, never get right with God, never have an interest in God, never have an interest in the scriptures, and I'll see, check in with you at the judgment day. Does it not kind of defeat the purpose of it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure? Seems kind of odd. Is God a respecter of persons? Does he give more of the Holy Ghost to one person than the other? Or does he give the same Spirit severally as he will, like the Bible says? It's very clear. Not hard to understand. But we need to take the scriptures and look at them and see what the Bible says about conversion. So we're going to take those terms. We're going to take the word conversion or converted, and we're going to take the word converted, and we're going to look, or convert, and we're going to look at that and see what the Bible says about that. From the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, and see if there's a pattern there that the Bible talks about. One of the verses we see is Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect. We preached on this. Converting the soul. Well, wait a minute. Now, if the law of the Lord is perfect and it converts the soul, what does that mean before the law of the Lord converted me, which is the Word of God, by the way, that's the law of the Lord. It's the book, the whole book, the Bible. They had the portion that they had. We have all of it now. Amen? That's the difference. Same Bible, same Word, just the complete. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have it all. Amen? God bless us with all of it. So the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So God's word converts me from what? Well, the Apostle Paul said it. He said, from darkness to light. He said, from darkness to light is how you're converted. Is the way that you're converted. Our words will never save a man, but God uses his word to save sinners. God chooses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Word of God, besides so continually describing two classes, I want you to listen to this, this is by Charles Spurgeon, very frequently and in forcible expressions speaks of an inward change by which men are brought from one state into the other. They're converted from one state. Now that is not just their eternal destiny. My goodness. So what is the earnest then? What is the earnest expectation? What is the earnest or the down payment, so to speak, that we get of the Holy Ghost sealing us? What is that then if that's not the earnest of what's to come? Just like you put down earnest money for a house, but eventually you're going to have it all and it's all going to, that's the way that it works. So God puts that down. He gives you the Holy Ghost. He seals that person that's born again, and that is the earnest until he is taken to heaven. Amen. Till he's perfected. But you're going to try to get me to believe that God doesn't do that. That God just gives you his Spirit. You're saved. Your eternal destiny is different. But your life doesn't change here at all. And I ask people over and over again, please show me that in the Bible. Oh, that's works. Yeah, it's God working in you. It sure is. It's God's work. I didn't say it's man's work. I said it's God's work. Don't get mad at me because you don't have God's work inside of you. Just get saved and you will. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Amen. Don't wonder and stumble at it. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. And I believe that. I believe most people that we talk to don't have a clue what we're talking about. By the way, I'm talking about Christians. They don't have a clue about God's work in their heart. They don't have a clue. Not a clue. Why? Because he ain't there working. That's why. If you got to question me, brother, and you got to have an argument with me about this, and we're really arguing the fact that the Holy Ghost works, we're in trouble. Because you ain't going to talk a man that has had the Holy Ghost of God work in him. You won't be able to talk me out of that. You won't be able to shake it from me. Why? Because I know what I was. And I know what he did. And I didn't say, man, I gotta make myself stop smoking pot. I have to make myself do that. I have to make myself stop fornicating. I have to make myself do that. No. It was God that worketh in me. perfect? Nope. But a new nature? Converted? Changed. Amen? Converted. I'm going to show you the next hour. There's no other way around it. Conversion is in the Bible. And if you've not been converted, you're not born again. Plain and simple. Amen? Further, listen to this, Charles Spurgeon, good quote, then we'll get back to Scripture. Further, the Scriptures speak of this great inner work as producing a very wonderful change in the subject of it. Regeneration and conversion, the one the secret cause and the other the first overt effect, produce a great change in the character. Read Romans 6:17, but God, we think that you were the servant, you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And again in verse number 22, he says, now being made free from sin and became servants to God, you have fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Mark well the description the apostle gives in Colossians 3:9, when having described the old nature and sins, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. The next spot we see this for conversion is Psalm 51:13. Turn there. This is David's psalm of repentance. See, David sinned greatly. You guys preach so hard against sin, so you must believe that if a man sins, he's not saved. Oh no. Oh no. We know we sin, and we grievously sin against God. We understand that. But I want you to look at David's psalm of repentance. I'm not going to go through the whole thing because I don't have time. But Psalm 51:13, what he says here. Then, well, actually, Psalm 51:13, let me go back here. I want to read the verse just preceding that. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You check that out on your own. It's a good psalm of repentance. Amen. And it's one that everybody needs to read. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Why? Because the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So God's goodness led David to repentance. God had already said to David, I put away your sin. God wasn't going to kill David. David's biggest concern was being right with God. He knew that he had grieved God. He knew that what he had done was wicked. And what was wrong with, what was David doing? The goodness of God had led David to repentance. A saved man or woman will be led to repentance. One that has been converted will repent. There'll be sorrow in their heart for their sin and they will turn from it. Sin? Yes, they will. But they will repent because of God's goodness. And David said, that example of repentance, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee. Why? Because of my repentance. Now, take that to your personal life. Dad, when you sin against God, and you acknowledge that before your family, amen, and you ask God for forgiveness for your sins, and you ask them to forgive you, what does that do to the children? That teaches transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee. That's what it does. Mom, the same thing goes for you. If you have a rebellious, wicked spirit, and you don't get right with God, and you're not broken over your sin, I don't mean boo-hooing and crying over it. I mean broken over your sin. I'd be very frightened if I was claimed to be a saved person and you've never been broken over your sin. I don't mean broken because you got caught. I don't mean broken because you're emotional. I mean that God broke your heart over your sin. Better make sure you've been converted. You say, well, I believe by faith. I do too. I absolutely do 100% believe by faith. But you're going to try to tell me a saving faith doesn't work, and you won't convince me of that. Otherwise, what in the world are we all wasting our time for? Let's go back to living it up and live like the devil. Doesn't matter, right? We can do whatever we want. There are only two teams in this world. They're not three. They're the lost and they're the saved. And there is no in between. No way around it. When you get saved and you're made alive and you're converted, you're different. You still have flesh and you still have the war with the flesh like we talked about on Wednesday. But you can no longer enjoy the sins of this world without being grieved. And by the way, here's another thing you need to think about. When you've been converted, there's fruit there. Now that fruit is not good works. That fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what that is. If you don't have that fruit of the Spirit inside of you, you are not His. You think about that. Now it'll develop over time. As you grow. But if you don't have it at all, you're not His. Isaiah 1:26. And I will restore thy judges as at first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. Why? Because, Brother Russ, they were unrighteous, and they've been converted to righteousness. Now, we understand that's imputed righteousness from Christ, but again, if you're trying to tell me that God imputed righteousness to you and it don't show up anywhere in your life at all, we got a problem. Why? Well, because you can't find a conversion like that anywhere in the Bible, that's why. Not one. There was a false one like that. He was called Simon the Sorcerer. And he was a sorcerer. That's the same sorcery that goes on today in churches, by the way. That Simon the Sorcerer is the witchcraft of the churches today. It's the magic incantation prayer with no evidence. It's Simon's sorcery. Come on. It's exactly what it is. Enchanting the masses with it. Simon was in the church. Simon was baptized. Simon had a belief that did not endure. Why? He had a thorny ground heart where the thorns came up and choked out the word. It didn't last very long. Why? Because it wasn't real. It wasn't real at all. This city was wicked, but they were converted to righteousness. The converts, they were converted to righteousness. That conversion is a change that takes place. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. No, does that mean I stop sinning and I never sin again? No, that doesn't mean that at all. What it means is I see it differently. I don't like it. I hate it when I fail Him. I hate it. By the way, with this bewitching false gospel that is being preached, it will only take the power of the Holy Ghost of God for those people to see their lost condition. For them to see that they have no fruit in their life, that they have nothing. That their life is empty and vain and no spiritual work inside of it. Only God's power can show that. Only God's power. Nothing else will. They will bristle. They will fight it. They will get angry with it. They'll hate the preacher that preaches it. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light. When you're saved, you love truth. When you bristle at truth and you hate it, and you get angry with the messenger of it, listen to me. Some of the most religious people I have ever met are out on the streets when I go preaching. And do you want to know some of the most meanest, nastiest people we've ever run across are those that claim to be saved? You're not doing it right. I don't like your method. I don't like the way you're doing things. Well, get up there and show us how to do it. I don't like your delivery. I don't like the way you preach that. Is it the way I preach it, or is it what's being preached? Is it the truth? You know, I can take a lot of truth from a guy I don't like. I can take a lot of truth from him. I've taken it. I don't like Russ, but I take it. Never mind, I'm just kidding. That's right, brother. That's right. Amen. I'm teasing. But there are people that I've learned from that I wouldn't necessarily like. I wouldn't agree with on a lot of other things. But they're right. Right is right. You know, the spiritually mature person, the one that has the Holy Ghost inside them too as well, they'll accept truth even if they don't like the way it's been given to them. And they'll apply it to their life. Man, you know what? That was pretty rough. You know, just this week I've had another lady called me on the phone. All these ladies, I don't know where these men are at. God help us. But she called me on the phone and told me about. She said, "I just want to thank you for preaching those messages on Hollywood. I listened to all of them. I agree. You know, it's been a blessing. You know, I just want you to know that. And you know, they may be visiting here actually real soon. So, but they were able to receive. You know, the guy said online he listened to sermons. He said, "I listened to them." He goes, "Man," he said, "you preach hard." But he said, "You're right." And he said, "What you said was biblical, and you back it up with the Bible, so I can't argue with it." Howbeit, some people just want to get angry and make excuses. Why is that? Have they been converted? Are they really on God's side? Lest they be converted, they be changed, made new. The Bible swarms with these texts. The change of the character in the converted man is so great that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And as there is a change in character, so there's a change in feeling. The man had been an enemy to God before, but when this change takes place, he begins to love God. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now, has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight? The change from enmity to friendship with God arises very much from a change of man's judicial state before. Before a man is converted, he is condemned. But when he receives spiritual life, we read, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." This altogether changes his condition as to an inward happiness. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, with peace that we never had before. You know, when God's people believe that it's okay to war against the truth, why? When they claim to be God's people and they war against the truth, have they been converted? No, because when things are just plain Bible truth and you can see it and it's been backed up with Scripture and thoroughly shown in the Word of God that it is these things are so, why is there enmity against the truth in someone who is God's child? Rebellion? or lost? Converted or not? Isaiah 60 and verse number 5. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Of the sea, converted, changed. Change direction. Change. But this word converted is salvation, folks. You understand that? It's salvation. It's being saved. It's being converted. Brought over to the other side, changed inwardly. So you want what God wants, and you hate the sin that does so easily beset you. I used to love the sins that I was tempted with before, but I hate them now. I hate it when I give in. Hate it. Like Paul said, there's a war. I hate it when I fail. I don't enjoy it. I can't revel in it. Why? I can't revel in it because the Holy Ghost of God says, you know that's sin. You're never going to enjoy that sin when the Holy Ghost is in you. Can't enjoy it. The secret sins of thoughts and wickedness used to revel in, but after being saved, I can no longer enjoy them, for conviction fills the soul when you try. Why? Because you've been converted. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe a child can be saved. I believe that. I do believe that. But I want to caution you on something. You don't see anywhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, salvation delivered unto children in a different way. You don't see anywhere in the Bible where these young children were really forced to be converted, or really forced to, or pushed and prodded as much. You don't see that anywhere. By the way, if you were a child, you better have understood your absolute, utter filthiness and lost condition before God. You better have been convicted about it. Not convicted because somebody was told you were just going to go to hell, but that you deserve to go to hell. You understood that's you. And you also understood that you had to repent and turn to Him. Now, you don't have to understand a doctrinal dissertation on it. What you do have to understand, what the effect has to be, is a repentance toward God. It's there. But some people hold on to a self-righteousness. I've seen that a lot of young people. I've had five of them here. They were holding on to a self-righteousness. Well, I never got in sin like that. I never lived like that. I never did any of that. I never did any of that. I'll tell you something right now, friend. You're as wicked as the devil. Don't you ever forget it either. And I hope, for all the fact that you didn't live wicked, that there's some fruit of that spirit inside of you and it can be seen. And not a self-righteousness, but Christ's righteousness. And that you were actually turned from darkness to light. Because you don't see that design in Scripture. So you're trying to tell my kids they're not saved? I'm not going to tell anybody they're not saved. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I'm going to let God reveal it unto you. And by the way, you can buck and fight and war against the truth, but it will do you no good on the judgment day, because He will pick you up and throw you into the lake of fire because you deserve it. That's why. Because you were like the Pharisees and were religious and grew up in your own righteousness. Well, let me tell you. You can't fool God. You can't fake. You can't play games with God. If you die tomorrow, Without Christ's righteousness, you will burn in hell. It matters not that you went to church for 40 years. It matters not that you served. It matters not that you baked muffins for people. It doesn't make a difference at all. You will still die and go to a sinner's hell. Don't play games with God. If you've never been converted, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Don't play with God. You can play games with me all you want to. You're not fighting me. You're not. I'm not your enemy. I'm not. You're not warring against me. I'm just delivering the message. You might try to make the fight with me, but I promise you, friend, I'm not your problem. I'm not your problem. Let me get you a mirror and look inside of it. You're your problem. You are. I have the Holy Ghost in me, as you do that are saved, and He changed me. My greatest fear is that men might understand the power of the Holy Ghost to convert a man to Him. How we are guilty of thinking salvation's power lies with us to grant a man, because we are the messengers of God, that we can grant them eternal life. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Fearful. We can only deliver the message. It's the Holy Ghost that must drive it home. Matthew 13, verse 15, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." That they should be converted. Heal them of what? Their unbelief? No. Their sin. Unbelief is sin. But sin is man's problem. Well, how do you know that? "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He came to save His people from their sin. You don't have a hell problem. You got a sin problem. I don't walk around saying, "Man, I have a hell problem." No, it's a wicked lust problem. It's a wicked thievery problem. It's a wicked sin problem. It's pride, like the pride of Sodom. It's all pride, wickedness, arrogance, works of the flesh. Sin's your problem, not heaven or hell. Sin. Your sins have separated you from your God. Sin. Sin's a problem. "Lest I should heal them." That's what He said. Heal them of what? Going to hell? Brother Russ, is that what they're healed from, going to hell? They're healed from their sin. From the power of sin, from the power of darkness to the power of light, converted. Have you been converted? Good question, isn't it? Jesus said you need to be converted. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 12, "That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." Oh, he didn't say you want to have a home in heaven? He didn't say that? No. He said you're a rotten sinner and you need to be healed.
Because you're wicked. Sure. I mean, I want to go to heaven just like anybody else. But heaven starts here, friend. That everlasting life is here. It starts here. Now, if you're not on the road to the celestial city here, why not? Why? Why are you on the road to the city of destruction, but claiming to be on the road to everlasting life? Rebellious or not converted? Some of you may be able to sin and never feel a bit of brokenness over your sin. Proud, stubborn person, lost in trespasses and sins. And God will never allow a man to sin with no conviction of it. Never. Never. God's not going to let you live in your little tirade for days on end till you feel like getting over it. That ain't God. Mm-mm. No. He'll convict you all the way through it. Time you try to get away with it, you just go on your tirade and you keep living like that. You keep treating people like that. You keep doing that. Oh, you're not out fornicating. So that means you're not lost because you're not doing anything wicked like that. You have to ask yourself, have you ever been convicted of your sin by the Holy Ghost of God? I mean, not your conscience, but convicted by the Holy Spirit where He's telling you, His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. That's not a question mark, by the way. That happens to God's people if you're saved. If you've been converted, it happens. And there's a love for the truth, too, by the way. Not an anger over it. Not hate. Like Brother Russ preached, was it last week, Brother Russ? He preached on loving one another, and if you hate your brother, how dwelt the love of God in you? Wait a minute, you love God, who you can't see, but don't love your brother who you see, who has God in him? I'm going to put a series that I preached, I'm going to put it on Facebook and watch, or not Facebook, Sermon Audio, and watch the whole world explode when I do. But it's evidences of salvation that I preached to you guys a year or two ago. I'm going to put that on there and watch everybody's head just BOM! It's just going to blow off their shoulders. Because nobody's ever told them that there's evidences of being saved! Ridiculous. Holy Ghost is going to come inside, you're going to go to sleep for 30 years till you go to heaven, huh? What a joke. No, you know what the Bible says? Then are you bastards and not sons. By the way, that message is coming too. Bastards and not sons. That one's coming too. The difference. Big difference. That's right, they sure do. And you ain't a better father, trust me. You are not a better father than God is. Nowhere near it. And you chasing your son or your daughter, but you're going to tell me that God's going to allow you that Holy Ghost live inside of you your whole life and He ain't going to chasten you and bring you back into the fold and preserve you and keep you? Bunch of malarkey. What is it? Same thing that William Booth, I don't agree with all his doctrine, but what he said was true. Same thing, the dangers that he said would come. It'd be a salvation without regeneration. Ah, there you go, we're here. I pronounce you saved. Bing. Then you're just saved, and then there's no regeneration. Wait a minute, where's the new man? Oh, he ain't there. Sometimes he's there, but, you know, he's not really there. I mean, the Holy Ghost don't. I mean, God works in some people, but not in others. Yeah, I can't find it, brother. It's not there. Spurgeon said this, does not Paul say in Hebrews 4:3, we which have believed do enter into rest? Our condition before God, our moral tone, our nature, our state of mind are made by conversion totally different from what they were before. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why, beloved, instead of supposing that we can do without conversion, the scriptures represent this as being the grand blessing of the covenant of grace. What did the Lord say to his servant Jeremiah? This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He says here, not as Jeremiah 31:33, this passage Paul quotes in Hebrews 10:16, not as obsolete, but as fulfilled in believers, by which we know the Father and the Son, and is not this necessary to make us in accord with future glory? He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. By the way, what you guys are selling out there that hear this message and get mad at this, what you guys are selling out there, what you hucksters have been selling for years out there, what you enchanters and witch doctors have been selling out there, is not of God. Can't find it anywhere in the Bible, except with Simon the Sorcerer as your example, who was in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. That's a lost man. Why? Because I've been made free. I'm not in the bond of iniquity. I'm free. I've been made free. That's right. Sons and joint heirs. God would never leave me bound to iniquity as his son. He came to set the captives free. When the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Sin? You betcha. Have to repent? Absolutely. But it doesn't hold me. It doesn't keep me. By the way, it's a popular thing to preach like that. It's a popular thing to run people through a prayer. Those are popular things. It's a popular thing to put 11 reasons on my website why my converts don't come to church. Same thing that Schubel Stearns and those other men did when they saw things and examples and they seen it. And listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. The witch doctors are out there. It's big. It's mainstream. And a lady wants to come to this church. Why? Because they're teaching C.S. Lewis from the pulpit. Shut up, preacher! Don't talk about that stuff! No, I'm going to keep talking about it. You know why? Because it's digging in good. That's why. And it's making a difference. And I'm getting phone calls all over the place of people that are saying, preacher, I never heard that before. Thanks for preaching that. Thanks for telling me the truth about the occult. Thanks for telling me the truth about Disney. While some of you might get angry about that, I know what God's called me to do, and I'm going to do it till I'm dead by the grace of God. Till I'm dead. And if it rubs you the wrong way, just get right with God and you'll start to enjoy it. You'll start to love it. By the way, if you think Jesus talked in little Joel Osteen tones like this when he was preaching, if you really think Jesus did that, then how in the world did he preach to 5,000 people? Hello? He didn't have a microphone, friend. I know, it's too much truth to handle. It might make your head explode. It's very literal. I don't like your tone. Well, I'll keep going. You won't like it even more in a minute. I'm telling you, I know what God wants me to do, and I'm not going to let the devil or discouragement or Pharisees or other people try to stop the work of God in my life or discouragements or anything else. Because, buddy, I've had them this week. I've had them thrown at me from every angle you can imagine. But God has set my face like a flint against it, and I'm not giving up until by the grace of God until I'm dead. Telling you, you'd be surprised. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except ye be converted. Unless you be saved from these prejudices which are at present so baneful to your nation. He's saying, except you have an idea, apostles, that this is going to be your kingdom set up. Is it now time, Lord? When are you going to put the kingdom in place? No. He says, no. You're going to receive power from on high, but it's to go preach my word and to die for me. So send I you. That's absolutely right. You know what? The same commit thou to faithful men. We are coming to a time. I believe if I live a natural life, so to speak, We are coming to a time, I believe that it may be possible that I die for this truth. Oh, you're a conspiracy guy. Yeah, I am, because I see him all over the place. I see him everywhere. I mean, come on, they're not that real. Yeah, they're real. They're everywhere. The devil's behind them all. I don't look for the men. I know the Illuminati, all these other, they're just a bunch of men. It's the spirit behind them. It's the spiritual wickedness in high places. It's all of those things behind it, working against God, building up. You know, there's going to come a time when it's not going to be so cool to be a Christian. All this fake facade we're living now, friend, if persecution comes, are you going to stand by the book? It'll be by God's grace, not by any strength in me. But are you going to stand by the book when you're pressured? Those that are converted will. Those that are not, won't. And you'll see them skate out. Brother Dixon had it. Thousands in his church. Well, that when persecution came, gone. Why? Because that's what persecution does. It reveals who's real and who's not. Now, come on. They're saved. Just they're saved. Really? That's right. When that light comes on and that persecution comes on, that's what Jesus is saying. These guys were converted. You think the apostles, look at Peter. Oh, we're going to get to Peter. I got to keep moving here. I'm going long here, but that's okay. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He's talking to Peter. He's saying, Peter, I know you're a big shot. And I know you think you got it all handled, Peter, but you're going to deny me three times. But I have prayed for you. I want to teach you something here. I want you to listen. I have prayed for you that thy faith fail thee not. Wait a minute. He's teaching something here. What is he teaching? Is there ever a prayer that God never answered for his son? No. Everything that Jesus asked the Father, he did for him. Why? Because he belongs to the Father. He's begotten of the Father. He is the Godhead. That's right. So no prayer he ever asked went undone. What does that mean? Just like his high priestly prayer, which maybe you don't know what it is, but his high priestly prayer that he prayed for all of those that God would keep them, all that are his, and those that come after them. What is he saying? Folks, your eternal life, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, is preserved because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the prayer that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So you see, he is the high priest that is in heaven, standing there, and I'm secure in him by the grace of God because he stands there and he ever liveth to make intercession for me. And his Father always does what he asks. Always. So Peter would fail. He would fail. But he said, you won't lose faith, Peter, forever. You won't lose all your faith. You won't be a stony ground here. You won't be a wayside here, Peter. You won't be a thorny Christian. Those thorns are going to come up, Peter. But I have prayed for thee. If you have the Spirit of God inside of you, then you can claim that. If you don't, then don't waste your time. Because you're playing games with God. But if you've been born again, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not. And what happened? It didn't fail him because later he was martyred for that faith. And he willingly was martyred for that faith before he talked a good talk, but he went through some trials and he failed. But God said, don't worry, Peter. Jesus said, you're not going to fail completely. Your faith is not going to fail completely. It's still going to be there. It'll endure. Now, what's commonly proper to say today is, well, they're saved, but that's just the way it is. You don't see that in the Bible, though. You see that, yeah, trials come. A righteous man falls 7 times. It's back up again. But you know what? You got to ask yourself one thing. If you are a child of God, if you've been converted, then why in the world don't you ever have any victory? If he's in you, I don't mean why do you sin. We all understand why we sin. I mean, why does it have such a sway on you? Why can't you ever get the victory over that thing? Ever? Why? Mark 4:4, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. Old backsliding Peter, though, but remember, the Lord said, I have prayed for thee. A change occurred in Peter, but Peter backslid terribly, and the Lord prayed for him. True Bible faith can be shaken and sinned against, but not utterly destroyed. I had a guy here one time, he said his friend turned into an atheist. Didn't believe in God anymore, didn't believe in anything. Well, that's not faith that endures. That's not real faith. How can you have the Holy Ghost of God inside you and believe that God's not real? That's stupid. Who believes that garbage? That is a joke. Come on! Who can believe that? That's silly. That his spirit beareth witness with my spirit that we are the sons of God, but I don't believe it anymore. He's not really there. Oh, that's stupid. God has no bastard son. He has no bastards, only sons. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, this is the same thing as what Jesus was talking about with Peter. Convert him from the error of his ways. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save his soul from death and shall hide in a multitude, shall hide a multitude of sins. He said, you know, he's backslidden. Bring him back to the truth. Convert him back to the truth. Not that he lost his salvation, he's going to get it again. That's not what he's talking about. Remember, that faith, he prayed that faith would fail not. What he's saying is that he's going to be converted back to the truth. He's been an error. And you're going to bring him back to the truth. Amen? Living right, doing right, obeying God. Acts 3:19, and we're done here. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. He didn't say repent. And be converted that you go to heaven? No. That's a gift. We get that through eternal life. But he says, repent and be converted. That your sins may be blotted out. Why? Well, because he's saying that, Russ, we have a sin problem. That's why we need Jesus. So what happened and where did it go wrong at in the last 200 years of evangelism or 150 years of evangelism? What happened to where we don't have sin anymore, we just have heaven and hell? What happened? Well, I like what Paris Reedhead says. if you listen to the revival hymn, if you never listen to the revival hymn, you can listen to it. Amen. Paris Reedhead said it became about humanism. Whatever makes man happy. That's what God's there for. That's what it's about. That's right. There's tares. That's exactly what it is. He said, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Again, always a conversion is from the power of darkness. We'll read this verse and we're done. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. By the way, let me ask you a question. Why would God save you without forgiveness? if you never needed forgiveness of sins, then why would he save you? He said, I came and just said the prayer, and why would he save you then if you didn't need to be forgiven? You don't get forgiveness without repentance. You get that? You don't get forgiveness without repentance. What does that mean? I have to ask for it. I have to understand it. Now, I didn't understand the whole Bible when I got saved. Nobody's saying that. But I can tell you what, when I bowed my head, now the words, I mean, come from the heart, but I Lord, forgive me my sins. Lord, I know what I am. I know I'm lost. I'm going to go to hell. I know it. That preacher preached to me yesterday, and I know I'm going to hell. That's me. I don't have a testimony to fall back on. Nothing's clear to me at all. I know I'm lost. I don't have anything. Got nothing. I'm lost. I know it. Well, I'll tell you what. I lifted up my head after that prayer, and I just began to flow like a baby and bawl like a baby. And I'm not saying you got to have tears to be saved. There better be some sorrow there. There'd be some sorrow that you offended a thrice holy God. And the burdens that were on your back, like Christian when he had the burden on his back, and he was carrying that burden. He was carrying it on his back. And it finally rolled down the hill. And he was free. Free at last. Free indeed. The burdens of sin lifted. You think on these things. What it means to be converted. Have you been converted?